Welcome to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors podcast presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors is also sponsored by Visit Bemidji, Northwoods Bank, and Bemidji Steel.
Coming up today on the podcast, we head over to the Glenwood Area Fisheries Office, check in with Storm Kettle Hut, and find out about our Lake of the Week. Plus, we check in with Dick Beardsley, who's been fishing Mount Rushmore Country. It's all coming up on the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors podcast presented by Northwoods Bait and Tackle.
Get away and experience great moments in Bemidji's great outdoors.
Discover the first city on the Mississippi with the whole family and enjoy unique lodging, encouraging hospitality, and great adventures in the pristine Northwoods setting.
With over 400 lakes for fishing, more than 160 miles of bike trails, and amazing campsites, Bemidji is a unique destination to create and live out those great moments.
Plan your next family getaway today. Go to visitbemidji.com.
Great moments in Bemidji.
Great moments in Bemidji.
This is Eric Osberg of Ottertail Country, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Lake of the Weekday, Lake of the Weekday, Lake of the Weekday, holy cow!
It's fishing Paul Bunyan Country's Lake of the Week.
Our Lake of the Week this week is Smith Lake. We're once again checking in with Storm Kettle Hut Fisheries Tech out of the Glenwood Area Fisheries Office. And so far, Storm, the lakes we've talked about have all of the staples we like. One of them was a musky lake, but it looks like we got good panfish on this lake. We got good bass on this lake. And again, good solid numbers of northerns and walleyes. A good healthy fishery all the way around, it looks like to me, when we're talking about Smith Lake.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for having me back. This is probably one of those lakes in our area where you're not going to head out there with the expectations of tagging a monster of any species, but there are definitely lots of fish swimming around out there, incredibly abundant panfish community, which gets a fair amount of attention. It can be fairly popular for ice fishing, but it is a smaller lake, so by popular, you know, I wouldn't expect to go out there and see thousands of ice houses by any means, but one of the draws for the lake, certainly.
Well, it's a lake that goes to about 30 feet deep, and it looks like it's just kind of a bowl shape, shallow, deep, and not a lot of sunken islands or anything like that.
No, there isn't a whole lot of structure out here. Like you said, fairly shallow. The average depth about 15 feet, and that can definitely limit some of the ability to target some of these species, and it can actually have some seasonal nutrient loading that lead to algae blooms, and can see some reduced water clarity, which depending on what you're targeting can maybe change up how you approach that. Generally that water clarity averages about 6 feet. So a little on that mid-range of clarity, which can be good for walleyes. Unfortunately, the walleye catch rate out there isn't anything super impressive. It's about 3.9, so almost 4 fish per gill net, which isn't terrible, and it's above the average for similar lakes across the state. And the size is nice. The walleyes that are out there average about 20 and a half inches. So that's pretty respectable if you're able to track them down.
Yeah.
We do see that the survival of these fish, especially the young ones, is fairly poor. But when they are able to actually make it past that first year or two, they generally grow really quick.
Yeah. And it looks like northern pike, you got a decent abundance of them and a nice solid average there, too, as far as weight goes.
Yeah, the pike, we averaged about 6.7 fish per gill net, so once again, almost 7 fish in the last survey. That's about average for this type of lake, and within our surveys of Smith Lake, that's right around the average as well. Kind of a moderate density, so not one of those overpopulated lakes. The catches range from about 15 to 31 inches with, like you said, a nice average right around 22 inches. Unfortunately, it's probably a fairly slow-growing population, so it does take a little time to see those larger fish. So we do ask any anglers or encourage them to release those, you know, 30 inch or bigger fish and try and harvest some of those fish on the lower end of that north central pike zone limit. That 22 to 26 inch range has to be immediately released, but anything below 22 is fair game. So if people want to take their 10, we'd love to hear that.
Okay. What is the most popular thing to fish for on that lake?
The big thing out there is the panfish.
Yeah.
They don't get huge by any means. You know, the crappies average about 8.5 inches, and the bluegills average about 6. And, you know, we might be missing some of the biggest fish in our surveys, but those averages are probably fairly a good example of what's in that lake and a good overview. But as I mentioned before, you're probably not going to go out there and catch tanks. That doesn't mean there might be a few swimming around, but for a lake where you want to harvest something and you go out here, there's a really good chance that you spend a little time here, at least going to find something that's going to bite, especially on that panfish side of things. And if anglers are looking to harvest fish, we would highly encourage them to take some of these smaller ones out of the system to try and promote growth. It might take a lot to make that happen, but you can at least try for sure.
You alluded to it early, but is there a lot of pressure on that lake or not so much?
You know, it does have a resort on it, which can draw a little more pressure, especially on weekends, but it is a smaller lake. It's only about 670 acres, so that reduces a little bit of pressure. You know, it's between Alexandria and Osakis, some of the bigger towns in the area, so you get some people coming over from that, especially on windier days. But, you know, it's not one of those lakes that's constantly being fished. So you could probably get out there and still be away from people. One big thing, though, is in the wintertime, Alexandria Industries puts on a Fishing for the Cure ice fishing tournament. And I believe in this last one, they had over 1,000 attendees. You know, not all of those people were fishing, but the next one's going to be February 17th at the moment of 2024. So I highly encourage people to take part. But if you don't like crowds, that's maybe a day that I would not go out to Smith Lake.
Okay. Okay. Is it very well developed? I know you mentioned a resort.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of development around the lake. It's another one of those where even though there are quite a few homes, there's still a lot of trees and things like that around the shoreline. So it's not something where they're stacked in there like cordwood, and the entire time you're driving around, you're looking in people's windows. There are some areas where you can sneak away from homes, but just due to the relative closeness to the towns, it does have a fair amount of development out there.
You mentioned that it's between Osakis and Alex, so how exactly do we get on that lake?
So just hopping on Highway 82. If you're heading to Osakis from Alexandria, it's going to be on the right side by Nelson, Minnesota, and going the opposite direction from Osakis to Alexandria. It's going to be on your left side there. It's about a mile off Highway 82 or so.
Okay. So, you know, most of the lakes we talk about, it's not too hard to find them.
No, a lot of these have actually been really convenient to get to. You know, we do have a few out-of-the-way lakes, but it's really cool. Some of our better fisheries are right off some of our main stretches of highways or some of the busier county roads, and they're still able to produce pretty successful fish populations with large sizes, which is awesome, especially for people wanting to get around and not having to worry about pulling your boats down gravel roads, which on Smith Lake you will have to do, but it's a short stretch.
Well, whether it's you know, having conversations with you guys in the Glenwood office or all over the state, I hear a lot about AIS, particularly zebras these days. What's happening on that lake?
Unfortunately, zebra mussels were actually just discovered in 2022. We don't really know what the impacts are yet, just since they've been so newly discovered. Chances are we'll likely see a reduction in water clarity or increased water clarity. We'll see how it affects some of the fish populations out there. Increased water clarity could mean more habitat. So the bass might like that. Panfish might have a little more place to hide. But as far as competition for foods for some of those smaller fish, it may not be a great thing. But still time to tell on that.
Okay. It is our lake of the week. It is Smith Lake. It's kind of a conveniently named lake. And it is out of the Glenwood area office. Once again, Storm Kettlehut, the fisheries tech, joining us. Storm, thanks for all the details.
Thanks for having me on again, Kev.
Coming up next, we check in with Dick Beardsley of Dick Beardsley's Fishing Guide Service. He's not in Paul Bunyan country right now. He's a little bit west. We'll hear from Dick next.
I'm Bro Brosdahl, proud to help educate Kevin Jackson on Paul Bunyan country outdoors.
Introducing the new Eye Candy Soft Plastics from Northland Fishing Tackle. Nightcrawler, grub, jig crawler, minnow, and paddle shad. Super TPE material offers extreme stretch, flotation, and durability, making it perfect for jigging, pitching, and pulling spinner rigs for big walleyes. Lifelike action with the slightest movement, this formula absorbs scent and holds up fish after fish without having to rig up a new bait. The new Eye Candy Soft Plastics from Northland Tackle. We are Walleye.
This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast. Paul Bunyan Country is the place many people want to be. Let's check in with our guy, Mark Harmon from Northview Bank, on how to make that happen. And you know, Mark, some people want to start from ground zero. Other people want it all done and ready to vacation in.
This seems to be a common pattern I see a lot. Somebody wants to buy a piece of land, right? So they buy a piece of land, and all of a sudden they find that RV or they park that fish house on it. Then over time, they're like, okay, we need something a little bit more significant than this. And they start honing in on what retirement looks like. You know, so from the bare land purchase to the construction loan part of this, to possibly even a home equity line of credit on your primary residence down in the cities, to maybe do some of those improvements, like put in the septic, put in the water, make those improvements. We've got you covered on all of that at Northview Bank. You know, just give me a call. We'll get you taken care of.
Mark is the man. You can give him a call at 218-366-9670. Northview Bank, with many locations, including several in the heart of Paul Bunyan country. Northview Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. You can find out more at northviewbank.com.
This is Mandy Uhr, and you're listening to Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Hey, we're checking in once again with Dick Beardsley of Dick Beardsley's Fishing Guide Service. But he's out and about like he has been a lot lately. In fact, Dick, I can't even call it Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors when you're on. I got to call it the Mount Rushmore Country Outdoors because you're spending all your time in South Dakota.
Well, Kev, you're right. I've been out here a lot this spring. You know, I started coming out here about the end of February, and because the ice went out here, you know, quite early, like it did back home. But normally that time of the year, I'm still doing my fish house rentals out on Lake Bemidji. But of course, with the ice conditions the way they were this winter, I never even put my houses out. So yeah, I've been coming out here doing some guiding, and today I came out here one last time for the spring. I'm fishing with my little sister Sheila and my brother-in-law Rick. They're from Rapid City, so we're out here on beautiful Lake Francis Case, the Missouri River system. We're up just north of Chamberlain, and so far the bite's been pretty slow. We've had a couple of fish on, but no fish in the boat yet. But we got a lot of time to get on some good fish, hopefully.
Well, and the nice thing about South Dakota fishing is they're a little bit more liberal as far as the season goes, so you can fish for walleyes.
You absolutely can, and the bite has been really, really good. And the water temperatures now is, you know, finally starting to warm up. It's at about 44 degrees, so these fish here will, you know, they're, some of them are already starting to move in to start spawning now. And so, you know, we're still catching some females, and we put all those big females back full of eggs and, you know, keep the smaller males and stuff now. But, their season never closes out here. So it's really a lot of fun, and get out here and you kind of get the rust off and get the long rod in your arm and your hands. And it's a lot of fun.
Well, and fishing on a Missouri River system where a lake is actually a wider part of the river, it's got to be a little bit different approach. So what are the differences about the way you fish on Lake Bemidji or some of the lakes here and a lake like that one?
Yeah, so out here, you know, there's really no weed lines or anything like that compared to back home. So, you know, you're fishing a lot of the channel edges and maybe some of the rocky shorelines and points, things like that. Some of the flats, it kind of just depends on, you know, where those fish are. Some days, you know, they're sitting up in shallower water. And, you know, last week and a half ago, I was up on Lake Sharp and we were catching fish, you know, in 45 foot of water. So it kind of just depends on where they're going to be. And, you know, this time of the year, you get nice weather, especially with the weekend. You get a lot of folks out here fishing, and hopefully everybody's catching a few fish. But it can get a little crowded in certain areas out here, that's for sure.
So what do you throw at them this time of year?
Yeah, pretty much jigging minnows. I've seen a few guys this morning that are, you know, trolling some crankbaits and whatnot. But pretty much this time of the year, jigs and minnows seem to do the trick. And then as you get a little bit, you know, later into the month of April, and especially when you start getting into May and stuff, a lot of folks out here like to pull bottom bouncers and spinners with crawlers and stuff, and they do real good. So, but this time of the year, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you know me, Kev, I love jig fishing, so that's what we're out here doing today.
So anyway, we've got water off, or we got ice off most of the lakes. We're rolling once again. People are on the water. We should be able to start catching some fish, I would think.
Yeah, pretty soon, Kev. You know the ice. I checked it on last Sunday, April 7th, and in my logbook, I put down, unofficially, ice went out. Well, then a couple days later, the DNR came out and said, yep, official ice out on Lake Bemidji was this past Sunday, April 7th, which is, you know, about 3.5 weeks earlier than last year and about a month earlier than the year before. So it's really, it's shaping up nice. You know, if we get some decent weather and you know, just a regular spring now between now and May 11th on the opener, you know, the walleyes will be all spawned out. They should be all recovered, and the bite could be really good. But before that, of course, you know, once we get this weather to warm up a little bit more, and it's going to be nice the next couple of days at home, then we're looking at a little bit of a cold spell coming in for next week. In fact, I even saw highs in the 30s and maybe some snow again by midweek and next week. But once that water starts to warm up, you know, one of the most enjoyable things to do in the springtime is when those crappies start moving up into those shallow, muddy bottom type bays on many of our area lakes in the Bemidji area. And gosh darn it, Kev, it is so much fun, you know, and especially to get the kids out there, or anybody for that matter. And, you know, it doesn't take much. They're in those shallow water areas. You know, a small jig with a crappie minnow, or just a plastic tail and maybe a little cork on there so you can cast it out a little bit better. A lot of those fish are up in, you know, 2-3 foot of water, and it can just be a fun time. And, you know, Kev, a lot of folks think they're moving in there to spawn, but they're not actually. They're moving in there for the warmer water, and they start feeding on the bugs and stuff that come up out of the mud, and it can really be a lot of fun. Now, here's the deal, though. You know, sometimes once they start moving in there, then all of a sudden, if you get a big cold front coming in and it's chilly for a couple of days and it starts dropping that water temperature, a lot of times those fish are going to move out. Typically, they'll move out to that first break where it starts dropping off into deeper water. So you just got to fish for them a little bit deeper. And then once that, you know, the water warms back up again, they'll move back in there. And early on, when they first start moving in there, a lot of the times the best bite is later in the afternoon when it's given that water a chance to warm up a little bit. But it's a great time to get out there and really have a lot of fun. And they're a great eating fish, too, if you want to keep a few for a meal.
Yeah, absolutely they are. Well, I'm thinking that I don't really know what to say about the walleye opener. I do know that a lot of people think that without the amount of pressure we had this winter, that it should be a pretty good walleye season on a lot of area lakes.
I think it should be, Kev, because you're exactly right. There, you know, like I maybe said earlier, you know, I'm always the optimist looking at positive things. And, you know, it was disappointing the winter season that we had throughout, you know, most of northern Minnesota and for the whole state for that matter. But because there was, you know, not near the number of fish taken out of our area lakes, that the numbers should be there good, and they should be hungry. They haven't seen, you know, any artificial baits, jigs, things like that for pretty much since late last fall when people were still out in their boats fishing. So yeah, it's shaping up that there should be a good supply of fish in all of our area lakes, and that makes it lots of fun.
Well, Dick, you've seen a lot of strange winters in the past. How strange was this one?
The strangest one I've ever seen, Kev. Honest to goodness. It's, you know, to the point where, I mean, I went out a few times perch fishing on Bemidji on my snowmobile, and the perch bite was when I was out there, it was exceptionally good. And, I mean, big jumbo perch. But, see, I was even a little scared being out there on a snowmobile, because the most ice I found on Bemidji, and I was fishing up in the north end of the lake most of the time, was 12 inches, but, you know, I could walk 50 feet or 50 yards and it'd be 7 inches in one spot, maybe 10 over here, and then, you know, back to 12 over there. So it was just very inconsistent, and virtually no houses out on any of the community spots, especially up in the north end of the lake there, out from Rutgers, where there's usually lots of houses on some of the different humps up there. There were never any houses out there at all this winter. So yeah, it was a disappointing winter, but I think everybody's pretty excited now that the ice is off and people are getting their boats rearing and ready to go. And now's a great time, too. You've got plenty of time to get out there before the walleye opener on May 11th to, you know, make sure everything's still working, the batteries are all charged up. Maybe you put some new fishing line on your reels and you know, stocked up on some, you know, different types of tackle that you might need out there. And, it's shaping up for a good opener.
It is indeed, I think obviously there will be a lot of people out there. There's no waiting around to see if there's going to be ice. We know there won't be. And I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of fishing in before the opener, too. I mean, as far as, you know, the panfish.
Absolutely, Kev. And the good thing, too, is the DNR now has, you know, a good month where they can get out there. And, you know, a lot of the accesses in the wintertime when that ice starts pushing up, it pulls up, pushes up those cement slabs or a bunch of gravel and stuff onto the landing. So now the DNR doesn't have to rush and do it in a few days. They've got a few weeks to get out there and get our accesses all, you know, in good shape, get the docks put in. So, yeah, it's I'm excited. I've been walleye fishing for 2.5 months now, but I'm super excited about the opener coming up here in, a month from tomorrow. Or a week.
I'm assuming you'll be using jigs and minnows.
Oh, well, Kev, I use jigs and minnows in July and August. You know me. I mean, I love jig fishing, and you betcha. That's, you know, especially those first few weeks after the opener, you know, it's hard to beat jig fishing. And then, you know, second for me would be, you know, running a live bait rig with a minnow on there, and it can be, you know, just really lights out. So, yeah, it's I'm very excited. I'm kind of like a little kid at Christmas time. You know, I'm 68 years old, but I still get very excited for the opening of fishing season.
I think everybody does. I think it's opening hunting, opening fishing, those are very special days in Minnesota.
Yeah, they really are, and especially the fishing opener. You know, most states don't even have a closed season or anything like that. Oh, my brother-in-law, Rick's got a – oh, nice walleye. Get the netty. My brother-in-law, Rick, just got a real nice walleye.
Oh, nice.
Good job, Rico. Sorry about that, Kev.
That's all right.
Little excitement there. A little live action going on out here in the boat. What were you talking about, Kev?
Just the importance of the fishing opener and how unique it is.
Yeah. Well, and it is. And like I was saying, a lot of states, like out here in South Dakota, there's no closed season on them. And from a biological standpoint, there probably doesn't need to be one. But in Minnesota, it's such a tradition that they'll never give that up because, you know, that's the weekend when some people, that's the only time they get to fish, and it's a get-together with friends, family, you know, guide clients, whatever it might be, and it's just a great way to kind of kick off the spring and summer fishing season.
It absolutely is. Well, I know you finally succumbed to all the electronics, but...
I did.
Non-electronically, is there anything new out there that you're kind of curious about that you're excited to try?
You know... Not a lot, but I got to tell you, you know, our very own Northland Tackle Company right there in Bemidji, you know, they make some great products, and they came out with this new jig called the Smeltulator, I think it's called, and it's to be used with, they've got this eye candy plastics that they've come out with now, and it's some really, really good stuff, and I've been using it out here a little bit for the walleyes out here, and it works really good, and, you know, plastics are something that more and more guys and gals fish walleyes are fishing using plastics, and the plastics out there today are such a good product, and they mimic a real live bait, and the nice thing about them is that, you know, you don't have to always change bait after every fish you catch. You know, they're good for, you know, a number of fish to being caught, so, you know, something like that, that's exciting to be using out here, and I'm looking forward to using it, you know, back home in the Bemidji area, especially, you know, I like to fish weed walleyes, and sometimes when you pitch a jig up into the cabbage, you know, and you start kind of ripping it through there, you know, you got live bait on there, and it rips off pretty good, but with those plastics, they stay on the jig, so that's something that I'm looking forward to doing more of that fishing plastics this upcoming season.
All right, I don't know, as we get ready for the season, I know we talk a lot about, you know, invasive species. That's a big concern. Outside of that, anything concerning you about the fish and the waters right now?
The biggest concern for me, Kev, is our low water tables. You know, the water levels on all the lakes are way, way down. Now, it sounds like this next week there's a good chance of some pretty good rains coming in for late Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday. So we sure need it because the lakes are very, very low. And some of the accesses, could be a little difficult to launch a boat, especially if you've got a bigger boat, or if you've got a, you know, a boat with a bunk trailer where you've got to float those boats off the trailer. I've got a roller trailer on mine, so it's not as big of a deal. But if you've got a big boat with a bunk trailer, you know, you might, on some of these accesses, you might have to back your truck out two or three truck lengths just to get the gosh darn boat to float off. So that's my biggest concern. But hopefully we'll get some good spring rains and we'll get those water tables coming back up again.
All right. Well, of course, it won't be opening weekend is also the weekend you can start catching and releasing bass as well. And I know that's one of your favorite things.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that first week right after the opener, I've got some guys coming up from Missouri for 3 days, and all they want to do is catch bass, and mainly smallmouth bass. So it could be a good time of the year to do that. Like I told them, it's all catch and release, and they know that. They're bass fishermen. Most bass fishermen don't keep any. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know, our bass fishing in the Bemidji area is, you know, really off the charts, and the smallmouth fishing continues to get better and better each and every year, especially on the Turtle River Channel lakes. But we got some lakes close by, you know, up by North Ome there, the Island Lake, the real good smallmouth lake. And mm-hmm. So, I'm looking forward to that. It's that's, again, catch and release the first 2 weeks once the opener starts on May 11th.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up, Dick, do you have time for the Fast Five?
Kev, I always have time for the Fast Five. That's one of my favorite parts of the whole show.
All right, here we go. Dick Beardsley, Fast Five.
What's up?
Fast Five.
Question number one. Do you have a bucket list place to fish and species to fish that you haven't done yet?
You know, yeah. Someday, I'd like to go with my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law and my nephew, his son Michael, they go down to South America and down to the Amazon, and they fish for these peacock bass. Mm. And he said it's unbelievable the amount you catch and the fight that they put up. So someday I want to go peacock bass fishing.
All right. In the Amazon.
Yes.
Question number two. Who is your favorite Minnesota Twin of all time?
My favorite Minnesota Twin of all time, it's got to be Kirby Puckett. And one of the reasons, I got to know Kirby and Herbeck and all those guys, Bernanski, back in, you know, when they were playing for the Twins. And they used to do a run called the Dome Run. And so they had me part of that. So I got to be good friends with those guys. And my son Andy, we were at a ball game one time, and Kirby hit a line drive foul ball, and I happened to catch it. And so afterwards, I was able to go into the locker room, and Kirby signed it for Andy. And when Andy, my son Andy, was a little kid, every Halloween he dressed up with a Twins uniform and dressed up to be Kirby Puckett. So, Kirby Puckett, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. Question number three. I'm really going to test your positivity with
okay.
this one. Will the Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl in your lifetime?
Well, okay, Kev. I'm 68 years old now, and they haven't won one yet. But I am an optimist. I'm excited about what they do in the draft, you know, maybe drafting hopefully a franchise quarterback. And I do believe, I might have to live to be 110, but I do believe they're going to win a Super Bowl in my lifetime.
Okay. Question number four. If you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't fishing, what would I be doing?
I mean, fishing or fishing guiding, what
yeah.
would you be doing?
Boy, I don't know, because that's all I've done. you know, that and doing some motivational talks. You know what? I know what I'd be. If I wasn't doing what I'm doing, because when I was a kid, I always thought it'd be neat to be a game warden. And but then when I rode with a game warden one day and I found out that how little time he had to hunt fish himself, I decided I don't want to do that. But I think that would be cool, being a game warden.
All right. And finally, question number five. You're taking your bride out for dinner to a nice, fancy restaurant. Are you going Italian, Mexican, or Asian?
Oh, boy. knowing what my wife Jill likes, she loves Asian, but she likes them all, but I think probably Asian.
All right, Dick Beardsley, if people are getting ready for some fishing in our neck of the woods and want to use your guide service, how do they get signed up?
You betcha, Kev. They can give me a phone call at 218-556-7172 or email me at dick@dickbeardsley.com, or they can go to my website, dickbeardsleyfishingguide.com, and I'll do my best to get them out. And I promise you this, we'll have a gosh darn fun time out on the water fishing, that's for sure.
All right, he is Dick Beardsley of Dick Beardsley's Fishing Guide Service. I'm Kev Jackson. Dick, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time today.
Kev, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Paul Bunyan Country.